One thing that the church needs is revival, and Harold had him come up and just tell, you know, what happened. You know, how did it happen? Because all of us have been in revival meetings where really nothing happened. I've been in revival meetings where things blew up after the meeting worse than if we'd never had a revival meeting. I mean, we went the wrong way, you know. So I wondered about it, and he said several things, and I mentioned one of them. Ruth is doing the monthly newsletter and that, and a lot of times she made her prayer list up. He said that what happened, that the one different thing that they did, that they started praying. Of course, you won't have a revival of any kind without prayer. But they started praying and started lifting up every family in the church individually. And I thought, well, you know, our church isn't so big that we couldn't do that in a way. And I said, you would get a prayer list. Ruth said, get the church directory out. I guess that's good. But pray for each family individually, because everybody's under attack, you know, and they did that. And I guess they prepared their hearts and they prayed and they started lifting all the families up. And they started having prayer meetings in the weekdays. Men were getting to the church at 6 o'clock in the morning one day a week. Yeah, it's a sacrifice. You know, before they went to work, they got to church and men sacrificed and they prayed. And they started having other prayer meetings throughout the week. And then he said that, during the preaching, the course of revival, they said that people stood up, grown men and that were weeping. And that they started looking at other people in the church and apologizing, asking for forgiveness for wrongs and things that had happened. And man, I started thinking about that, and I said, you know, that's what revival produces, those things. And I listen, those are things that need to happen. You know, people start confessing and start being honest with yourself and quit carrying grudges and start, you know, confessing that and asking for forgiveness from brothers and sisters. And I think in every church that needs to happen. You know, every church that needs to happen. There's people that carry stuff and all that hinders God really working in the church. But I thought that was awesome that you know, and it's sometimes you get so, we get so complacent and so stagnant and so repetitive and we don't expect anything, we don't think anything, get cynical. You know, as a pastor, you just get cynical, man. I'm just going to get me through Sunday, Lord. Just let me get through. I'm going to get my message preached. And you know, then I'll just get through Wednesday night. And then I'll look to, you know, let's just, you know, we're not seeing, you know, God do anything. We're not expecting. We get to the point where we think it's not going to happen. But, you know, that's encouraging to know that, listen, it's going, you know, it can still happen. It can still happen there. But anyway, got a message here for you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 25, a little extra reading. As Samuel died, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say unto him that live in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace unto thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I've heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them all the while that they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand and to thy servants, to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto them, unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded his sword. And there they went up after David about 400 men, 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed anything, as long as we were conversant with them. We were in the fields, and they were a wall unto us both night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. And now therefore, know and consider what that will do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak unto him. We see in our text this morning that we have a man, his name is Nabal. By the way, don't name your children Nabal. Nabal means fool. We can see he's kind of acting foolishly. We see in a case, it was when David was on the run and had a band of men. And all the while they were doing that, they were a pretty good army, little army of men. And they had protected some people. They had protected people, their flocks, their herds. It didn't hurt anybody. It kind of came out there in the text and let Nabal know, listen, we didn't do anything and we haven't hurt you. And you know, we protected you. We found out Nabal was a pretty wealthy man. And David sent some of his servants to say, you know, we've got a need. We need some supplies. We need some food, really. I heard you're shearing your sheep. We want to get some meat. And he sent some men over. They asked politely. They kind of rehearsed in the fact that they didn't hurt him and that he was prosperous. I mean, they just went and asked in a polite way. And Nabal refused David. David said no. Nabal said, no, I'm not going to give you anything. And that rejection, that offended David. The title of the message today is Don't Be Offended. And when we think about this, you know, we can ask the question, I can ask, has anybody ever been offended? Anybody ever been offended? You know, something's offended you. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody didn't do something. I mean, those things offend us. And so David rounded up 400 men because he was offended, and they're about to swoop down. Verse 22 tells us that they were going to swoop down and they were going to kill all the men. I don't know how many men Nabal had, but there was a lot of people who were going to die that day because David was offended by Nabal. And we saw there, and I read a little bit farther than I wanted to, but we saw that one of Nabal's servants went to Nabal's wife and told her what happened. And he even said that this servant tells Nabal's wife in verse 17, he's such a man, a son of Belial. That means a good for nothing. That's what Belial means. Said he's such a good for nothing man that we can't speak to him. I mean, this is what this servant's saying to Abigail, Nabal's wife. And Abigail, so in verse 18, she tries to defuse the situation. It said in verse 18 that she made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep. And she got a bunch of stuff together, in other words, and she took it to David. In verse 25, she said, let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. She even calls her husband a good for nothing. Even Nabal, for his name is, so is he, which means he's a fool. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. And she's trying to defuse that situation. And this was a key thing in verse 31. It said, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. And it said in verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hands. You know, there was a lot of things in life. We know David was offended probably because of ingratitude, and there's a lot of things in life that can offend us. There's 73 verses in the Bible that mentions offenses or being offended. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. I think we're living in a world today, it seems like people are just offended about everything. You can't do anything if somebody don't get offended about it. You know, I kid around a lot. I kid with people a lot. Man, people get offended at that. I'm learning how to slow down from doing that. It's just my personality. I will say this to you. I don't kid with anybody I don't love or don't like. I'm not trying to, I don't hate anybody, but I mean, there's people that I love. The closest people to me are the people I feel the most comfortable with or the people that I'm going to kid around with. But people get so offended at everything, you just have to, you know, as a pastor, you have to slow down doing that. But I got several points I want to talk to you about this morning. We'll look at that. The number one point is this. Offenses are a stumbling block or a potential stumbling block. The biblical definition of the word offense means a stumbling block or the potential to be a stumbling block, as a matter of fact. And you know, in life, we can make investments in life. We can invest for a profit or we can invest for a loss. But an investment that we can make that is guaranteed to produce a loss is investing part of your life being offended or taking someone else's offenses. And that means when somebody else is offended and they get you under their wing and they talk about their offense and kind of get you stirred up about it. as well. Now, this is what the Bible says. In speaking about offenses, nowhere in the Bible is being offended commended. Nowhere in the Bible is being offended commended. Jesus said in John 16:1, "These things have I spoken unto you," he was talking to his disciples, "that ye should not be offended." Now, what things was he talking about? He was talking about bearing fruit. If you have to read back the chapter ahead of that, a couple before that, loving one another, being a servant, bearing witness of Christ, those type things. He was talking about that. He said, listen, you will be offended by that, or you'll have a tendency to be offended. But he said, listen, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that you won't be offended when offenses come. Now, the second point I want to bring out this is, look, offenses can be either right, wrong, or neither. And in a way, David was offended because of a wrong done to him, or at least a perceived wrong, and probably was a wrong. Here he had protected this man's flock, his herds, didn't do him any harm. And you know, that was Eastern custom, being, I know if, in our custom today, if you had a bunch of cows out in the field and somebody came pulling up in the driveway, say, hey, look, buddy, I was just thinking, you know, I haven't stolen any of your cows. I haven't tore your fence down. I just wonder if I could have one of them. You know, we're probably not going. But Eastern custom, cities, and they didn't have Walmart, and people were stretched out all over the place. And that was the custom. People traveling, strangers, you were hospitable. And you would do that, especially a wealthy man. He would kill some of the sheep or slaughter some of the sheep and give them to him. David was offended because of a wrong done to him. But you know, we can be offended over wrong. We can be offended over doing right, or maybe neither one. And when you get to looking at it in the Bible, most of the people in the Bible were offended because of something right, not wrong. Something right, not wrong. Listen, it's impossible for a Christian in this world to live right, do right, talk right, walk right, teach right, and preach right without somebody being offended about it. Huh? That's just the world that we're living in. Listen, you take a stand and say, listen, abortion is wrong, because the Bible teaches that. If you take a stand in the world we're living in today and say abortion is wrong, somebody's going to have a problem with you. Are they going to be mad? They'll be offended about that. If you stand up and say that homosexuality is wrong, the Bible teaches against that, somebody's going to be offended about that. And listen, it's not that we're being critical, of people that sin or sinners. Listen, everybody, you know, we're sinners. We're born sinners. I understand that. I'm just saying listen, there are such things as right and wrong. Sometimes we're wrong. Don't be offended about that. Sometimes we make mistakes. Don't be offended about that. There are things that are right. And if we express that, this is right, don't be offended. But the world is going to be offended. And that's when we're doing what's right. As a Christian, somebody in the world here is not going to like it. Somebody's going to be offended about that. And so don't get offended when they get offended for you doing right. You bother people when you do that, though. Jesus said in Matthew 11:6, I believe he said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Listen, you know that Jesus Christ, he was the only perfect human that ever walked the face of the earth. He offended people left and right. He offended people. People got offended at him, not because he was doing wrong, but because he was doing right. And that bothered people. And so if we are Christians and we live like Christ, guess what? We're going to offend people. In Matthew 13:57, after Jesus had spoken for a while, he says that they were offended in him. And when you look at that, ahead of that, what were they offended at? They were offended at his mighty wisdom and his mighty works. Just healing people. Some people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, that bothered them. They got offended at that. Doing good works, at his wisdom, the words that he spoke, they were offended at that. You know, some people get offended because they're looking for something to be offended at. Somebody didn't speak to me. Somebody didn't visit me. Somebody didn't shake my hand. I shared this with the church one time. You know, as the church gets bigger, sometimes, well, you know, the preacher, he didn't talk to me today. He didn't shake my hand. And I told our church member, just think about it. Look around here right now. We don't have all that many people in here, less than 100 people, no doubt. But if I spent 1 minute with everybody in here, if I just talked to you for 1 minute, we wouldn't be started preaching yet. Huh? How long would it take for me to talk to everybody for 1 minute? I mean, you know, say, if we got 80 people in here, we got 80 minutes. Huh? That's over an hour. If we got 90, we got an hour and a half of me just saying something to you for 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. I try to get around, shake everybody's hand, how you doing, this and that. And, you know, we talk about stuff, but it's hard. Listen, don't be offended if I don't get around to you. Sometimes I think about it. Later I get home, I said, man, I saw so-and-so in church, and I didn't really get to talk to him. I didn't go and say anything to him. Don't be offended about that. I just couldn't get to you. I mean, it's not that I didn't think about you. You know, come get me. You know, I could say the same thing. Yeah, well, I saw so-and-so in church, and they didn't even come up and talk to me. Huh? Well, he didn't talk to me. He didn't know. We both offended. We mad. You know how it goes. We can do that. Listen, church splits. Churches get mad, believe it or not. Churches have splits, and they split over things. This is a true story. I read about this. A church split. Listen, God had blessed them, and they had grown, and they had to build on, kind of like what we did here. They built the bathrooms. They had a committee. Lord knows we can't do anything without a committee. They had a committee. Somebody said a committee, a camel. A camel is what they got when a committee got together trying to make a horse. They came out with a camel. But they had a committee, and this is no kidding, a church split over the color of the toilet paper. The toilet paper. Yeah, they got in there, and what happened was one of them wanted one side, one of them wanted another. The committee got in an argument about what color it was going to be, so they decided to bring it before the church for a vote, and the vote was going to be next week. So the one side got all the people they could get on their side, and the other side got all the people they could get on their side. And then when they had the business meeting, they had a big uproar about what color the toilet paper was going to be, and when they finally decided, it was real close, like 48% to 52% vote. Somebody on the 48% side, a lady got up, snatched her purse up and said, well, if that's the way it's going to be, and out the door she went. And, of course, that group, a bunch of, you know, man alive. I mean, it's crazy stuff. That's a true story. I mean, you find it hard to believe. Churches are split over crazy things like the color of carpet, the color of songbooks, what kind of music they're going to sing. You know, one church split, listen to this. They had put an addition on, there's another bathroom story. I don't know why they have a lot of splits over the bathrooms because we're not in there. I don't spend that much time in there. But they had a bathroom. They built an addition of the bathroom. They split over which side of the bathrooms they were going to put the commode. Which side they were going to put the toilet. The church split over that. And so, you know, it's another one over where they were going to put a water fountain. They finally got a water fountain. They couldn't decide where to put it, and they had to split over that. You know, if we want to, I mean, we can be offended at just about everything. Now the Bible teaches us this, and we read some things, and Jesus talked about it. The third point is try not to offend. Try not to offend. There was a story. It wasn't one of the parables. It was something that actually happened in Matthew chapter 17. And Peter was asked by the Pharisees and the Republicans if his master paid taxes. And Jesus, so Peter brought that up to Jesus and told him something. I want to paraphrase it this way. Jesus told Peter this. He said, look, even though we don't owe the taxes, it was the reason why they didn't know it. He said, to keep from offending, and if it's just a matter of money, let's pay the taxes. Let's just do it. You know, and sometimes we have to look at it this way. Try not to offend people even when it might cost us something. You know, why? Try not to offend people even though it might cost us something. You know, yield your rights. Yield your rights. You know, with people, another thing I see, and I notice this in Christians are as bad as anybody about it. People just don't want to apologize for nothing. Even if they're wrong. You know, they can be wrong, but they never, never, never apologize for anything they say, anything they do, even if it's wrong. And Jesus said, listen, what he's really saying there, hey, it's okay to apologize even if you're right, just to keep the peace. Let's just keep the peace, and you know, we can do that. And so, yield your rights. 2 Corinthians 6:3, he said this, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Because listen here, folks. We're protecting something far more valuable than our personal rights and our pride. We're protecting the gospel. That's what we do. You know, we protect the gospel and try not to be offensive. Luke 17:1 says it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through who they come. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, listen, offenses are going to happen. This is going to happen. Listen, we can offend people by accident. Like I said, you can kid around with somebody just being kidding. Your heart is so innocent of trying to offend or be hurtful in any way, and somebody can take offense. You can do nothing sometimes and offend people offenses are going to come. But if they do, listen to what? We're commanded to forgive. If somebody offends you, sometimes people offend you and they don't know it. Sometimes they offend you and they do. Either way, listen, it's not saying, well, let's see, let me sort it out. They offended me, they didn't know it, therefore I will forgive them. No, it doesn't say that, does it? They offended me and they did it on purpose. Guess what? Still got to forgive them. And so, you know, we're to forgive, and a lot of times we won't do it. You know, and if you don't forgive, I'm going to tell you what happens. Bitterness starts to develop. And carrying that grudge starts to beat you down. And listen, everybody, a guy at the couple's prayer advance said this right here. It was, and I thought I really liked the word. I've thought about it, and I've preached on it or talked about it. Everybody's at different spiritual levels, and we have to realize that. But he used this one word here. Give people margin. You know, give people a margin. Just, you know, everybody's not going to do everything exactly like you want it. Everybody's not going to respond to everything exactly like you want it. Just give folks a margin. What's wrong with that? A little margin for error or a big margin for error, whatever. Just give everybody a benefit of the doubt, a little leeway, and even if they're wrong, so what? You know, so what? It's not a really big deal. You know, another thing about expectations, don't have expectations, and then you won't be offended when those expectations aren't met. The fourth point here is we look at is defuse offenses. You know, we see Abigail in the story, and she found out what happened, and I guess her thinking was, wow, you know, this. She probably knew something about David's men protecting them and that, and so she didn't want David to kill the men, and she didn't want really David to do something that he was going to regret later on down the road. I mean, David's so angry, David's going to go, and he's going to put his sword on, and he's going to go down and swoop down on Nabal's men, and Nabal's men were innocent. This one guy that went to Abigail's wife, it wasn't the men, it was Nabal. But David's going to kill all the men. See, anger can get you, you know, anger can get you to a bad place. And he would have killed a lot of innocent men, but she came down, and really she gave some advice. She goes, look, here's some fruit and some figs and some bread, all those things, and she gives them to David, and she says, listen, don't, you know, I'm sorry, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm sorry about my husband. I'm sorry about that, but I didn't know that I didn't see the young men come, or we'd have took care of it in another way, and then I like that David, you know, he listened to her advice, and he even, you know, he said, blessed be thy advice, and it kept me this day, in verse 33, from coming and shedding, coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. You know, you helped me out there. You defuse the situation. And sometimes we get offended and we do things that later on, you know, we regret. In our anger or in our disappointment or whatever, we do things that we might regret later on down the road. And so, you know, the best thing to do is try not to get offended in the first place. And then we won't have to, you know, have somebody come and speak to us. But thankfully, she did. Here's another point right here. Avoid those who deliberately try to offend others. Romans 16:17 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. And Proverbs 6:16-19 lists six things that God hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness, and right here, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now see, sowing discord among the brethren is somebody, usually somebody that's been offended about something, and then they go around to the brethren and they start sowing, you know, that same thing, which is going to bring us up to the next point, is don't take up somebody else's offense. Don't take up somebody else's offense. In other words, you know, start sharing that offense. Psalm 15 says, those who shall abide in thy tabernacle, who shall abide in thy holy hill. It's talking about who shall do that. It says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth with his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, taking up a reproach or an offense that's not yours. You know what happens a lot of times? Listen, most people never leave a church because of the reason they give. They never leave a church for the reason that they say they left a church. Most people leave a church this way. They got offended by something way back, but they knew that that wasn't a good enough reason to leave, and so they sat there in the church the rest of the time just looking for something else to tack on to that offense or perceived offense that they might have. And then what they usually do, they start sharing those offenses with somebody else. In other words, sowing discord among the brethren. And you know what happens 9 times out of 10 is a lot of times with that case happening, if you take up that offense, somebody comes to you and say, yeah, you know what brother so-and-so did, or you know what the pastor did, and you start talking, they get you all riled up. A lot of times, the other two people, the people that were originally offended, they make up, but you're still the one that's aggravated. You're still aggravated about it. Now you've taken up their offense in something that probably didn't bother you to start with. And so, something that we don't need to do, taking up somebody else's offense. So, you know, be careful about that and be careful about being offended. And what I want to show you how, of course, you know, you see what not to do and this and that and the other thing as we look through the Word of God. But I want to show you something in Psalm. Look in the 119th Psalm. It's one of the verses I wanted to go to, or chapter I wanted to go to. 119th Psalm is the longest chapter in the Bible, I believe. It's got more verses in it. But way back in the back, in the 161st verse of the 119th Psalm, here's how you avoid being offended. This will show you how not to be offended. It says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Now, the law there is talking about God's word. And it says several things that what God's word will do. In verse 161, we see that God's word causes awe. Causes awe, just a sense of awe. It's remarkable. In verse 162, we see that God's law or God's word causes joy. I rejoice at thy word. And in 163, we see love there. It said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. In 164, we see the word praise. It says, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. In other words, because of God's word. And then in 165, and this is the key to it all, it said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, in other words, and love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 166 talks about hope, but here's the key right there. Listen, it's loving God's word. That's how you keep from being offended. You know, we love God's word and we rejoice in that. It produces all, a lot of those things, notice, are fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, those things there that we get through being in God's word. And we have hope. Listen, you know, when we get offended, a lot of times we tend to carry that. There's lots of other words that pop up that come from being offended, carrying a grudge. You know, you have a grudge. Somebody offended me and you won't let go of that. You know, that's all you think about. That's carrying a grudge. And the Bible talks about that. It leads to other things. It leads to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness always, always, always leads to bitterness. And you start getting, you know, all those things. It's a spiral downhill. And a lot of times what we do is we say this. We say, look at so-and-so. They offended me, even if it's a wrong. And we say, look, they did wrong. And then we carry a grudge. We won't forgive them, and we become bitter. It's 3-1 now, folks. You know, they might have done something that offended you. That's a fact. But I'm going to tell you what. And you say, look, it's wrong. They're just wrong. Boy, they're wrong. You know, point it out to everybody. You know, they're wrong. Boy, I can't believe they're wrong. I've never been wrong. You know, I can't believe it. And what we got is, but guess what? Unforgiveness. It's wrong. Carrying a grudge. It's wrong. Being bitter. It's wrong. You're just as wrong as they are. And you know, if we're keeping score, but we're not. So, you know, how do we get, listen, give people margin. Just give people margin. You know, And you know, just get in God's word. Get your eyes on Jesus and get them off of the people. You know, and you know, you have peace. The word of God produces peace. Sometimes, think about this. God uses offenses to develop us. You know, God allows an offense, somebody to offend you, so that you can learn how to use a margin. You can learn how to forgive. You can learn how to love. You know, listen, Jesus loved everybody. He loved the unlovable. He didn't tell us just to love all the people that were good people, great people, never bothered us, never offended us, never did anything. Listen, He loved everybody. Maybe God allows offenses to come so that we can learn that, just how to love somebody else and to develop us into a better Christian. Maybe God allows offenses to come into our life to show weakness in our life, that we've got an area that needs to be worked on by God, develops. Said, you know, somebody said this way, said, offenses dig a hole, pride digs it deeper. You know, sometimes, you know, because of our pride, you know, it becomes such a problem. Listen, let me say this to you in closing, keep you too long. Listen, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Try not to offend. We're probably going to offend somebody even when we're trying not to offend. And we're going to be, you know, something's going to try to offend us, but just don't be offended. Just look to God's word. The Bible says there that great peace have those that look to His word. And He says this, you shall not be offended. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you can stand, your heads bowed, and eyes closed. Let's go.